I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. This hour, childcare costs in this country are very, very high. In 33 states, including Wisconsin, this is amazing. It's more expensive to send a child to daycare than to college. Average of $10,000 a year. It's one-fifth of a median household's income, 60% of household budgets on a minimum wage. We're going to have two guests this hour to talk about the problem and also to talk about potential solutions. I know many of you are living through this. It's really, and it's an issue we've been talking about for a long, long time in this country, of how we make it affordable and what kinds of models could we put in place where you bring your children to a place that's closer to work, maybe workplaces getting together so they can offer childcare to employees. We'll have two guests with us this hour. Professor Catherine Magnuson is a professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work. Her interests are socioeconomic status and child development, early education and intervention, welfare reform, and family well-being. And she looks at how disparities in socioeconomic status affect children's development and how these effects may be altered by policies and also by programs. A little bit later in the program, State Senator Jennifer Schilling will be joining us, Senate Democratic leader from La Crosse, and she's going to be looking at legislation that will be introduced in the Wisconsin legislature to deal with the problem of child care costs. Professor Magnuson, we start with you, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for the invitation to join you.
You know, one thing that's discouraging to me, my children are all grown now, but I can remember talking about these issues for as long as I've been doing radio, and that's been a long, long time. We keep lamenting how hard this is on families, how much it costs, and yet it remains pretty much the same. Why?
Well, I think one of the reasons is that often when people talk about families and working parents in particular, they think it's something that the family should be able to sort out on their own.
Oh.
And so, you know, I like to think of kindergarten, which is when most of our kids start into the formal schooling system, as a massive intervention in helping parents pay for childcare, right?
So, yes.
But before that age, we really think that parents should be able to figure out this thing on their own. And so we've made small inroads in helping parents over time. Particularly, you know, when you're talking about all parents through tax systems. But it's really something that as a community and as a country, we haven't wanted to embrace and help people with. And I think we might finally be hitting the tipping point where people recognize that it's so fundamental, not only to parents being able to make means, but, you know, for employers, right, to be able to have their workers able to show up at work and be productive and not be worried about where their kids are or how they're going to pay for where their kids are.
Yeah, and the amount they're paying, $10,000 a year.
Yeah, I know, right? And that's, I was refreshing my memory myself on the numbers. So there's a great organization called Child Care Aware America that collects numbers for how much these things cost in states, and they said that their most recent report, right, had a center-based care full-time now, and lots of families try and save money by not going full-time, by having grandma do a day or by trying to split, you know, days and weeks of work. It's $12,000 in Wisconsin, right, for a four-year-old to attend a full-time center-based care. It's almost $10,000, and $12,000 for an infant. Actually, infants are always much higher.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is incredibly expensive. Now, as I'm sure you also read, part of the reason is we don't have, you know, in many areas of our economy, we've been able to use technology to reduce the costs of producing goods and services. And, you know, we can't put our young children in front of iPads.
Right.
to keep them busy. You really need to be able to pay for the cost of labor. And so there's just not a lot of cost savings in this area.
Yeah, but we also don't pay very much for the labor.
True. It's, you know, on average, I have a great colleague here, Laura Dresser, who's done some work in the child care workforce. And on average, now in Wisconsin, child care providers making about $11 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true. They're also not making a tremendous amount of money. And then there are capital costs, right? You have to keep things clean. You
right.
need your buildings to be safe. There's a lot of safety concerns and space concerns that go into it, too. But it's My children are still young, so I know all too well how expensive it is.
Yeah. And Catherine, what about the quality? And let's break this down by income, too. If you're doing pretty well, if you're bringing in a lot of money, you can afford really the best of childcare. If you're not making very much money, have we been at least careful about making sure that childcare, good childcare, is available to all, no matter what your income?
That's a hard question to answer. And I'd start out by saying I don't think we've ever been able to do that to the extent that some of us might want to do that. So it's never been the case that if you are low income, and I would say low income, not even, right, like making our state median income is something like about $50,000, right? And people who are making $50,000 can, with one young kid, can't really afford to spend 20% of their income on childcare. Sometimes they do because they have to, but that's a tremendous amount of their income going right out the door to just pay for their children. So it makes saving for things harder. It makes trying to get ahead a lot harder. In our state and in other states, we do provide childcare subsidies to low-income individuals who are working and need childcare. But over time, as a result, in particular when the Great Recession kicked in 2007-2008, the rates by which providers are being paid for that child care were held constant because state budgets were so tight. So it used to be, if you look back in about 2000, a child care subsidy was about 75% of what's called the market rate for child care, and so that's the sort of average cost of child care in a specific geographic area. Because they were held constant, because these subsidy rates weren't increased at all, they've declined a lot in value. So it's now closer to about 60% of market rate. The way the program works is that you get a voucher and you go and find the child care that you want to pay for. Child care centers don't have to accept the vouchers, right? And so, you know, today the child care subsidies buy less than they used to. I think on the upside, so I don't want to be all negative, there has been increasing public provision. So there in the 90s in particular, there were great expansions in Head Start funding. There have been expansions here in Wisconsin in the 2000s for 4K. For many families, that functions as a form of child care, right, and offsets at least some of the costs that they would otherwise be paying for child care. So there have been positive steps sort of to reduce the burden, but you still see about 20 percentage gap differences in participation in what we think of as one of the higher forms of quality and center-based care providers. Mm-hmm. And there are also differences within center-based care about lower and higher quality, depending on who can pay for it. And I think one of the really interesting trends has been just how much wealthy individuals will pay for their children's early education. They really, you can spend $30,000 to more a year to
buy
quality. That's in some of the higher-cost cities, but you can spend a large amount of money. And apparently many wealthy people are willing to do so.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason is that we've had all these studies in recent years showing how really crucial those early years of life are, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. I think we know a great deal about how positive environments, and these are environments that are not just academically, that are not primarily academically oriented, but which in there are low ratios, so many, fewer children to many more teachers, in which there's interesting activities and activity centers, materials, and a lot of fun and supportive activities are really positive for children's early learning and for generating that love of learning and curiosity to learn as well. So that message, which is great, has really gotten out there, and people have accepted and understand its value. The problem is that the prices have continued to rise with the quality of services rising, right? And
yes.
So not everyone can purchase that high-quality care when it remains something that's dominated by a private market.
Mm-hmm. I was reading that the cost of full-time care is 85% of monthly U.S. median cost of rent, but in four states, and Wisconsin is one of them, Kentucky, Montana, Oregon, and Wisconsin, full-time care is more expensive than the median rent.
Right.
Why is that in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's, you know, you have to look at the two sides of the coin. So one of the reasons might be that we don't have as high housing costs as in some places. The other one that's interesting, I was looking at similar numbers. One of the things that other states have that we have less of, I guess, would be cheaper family-based daycare providers. So we do a fairly good job of regulating the quality of care for family daycares. And so these are people who are in a licensed business bringing children into their home to care for them as opposed to a center-based program. And relative to other states, that costs more in Wisconsin than other places. So one of the things I think that families do when they're faced with these very high costs is look for cheaper, you know, alternatives. And family daycare in many states provide that lower cost. And here in Wisconsin, they are of higher quality, more regulated, and they have higher costs associated with them compared to some other states. So that's one explanation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we, as a state, have really been a little bit ahead of the game in terms of thinking about child care quality in some ways. And so we were earlier on adopted higher levels of regulation. We had lower ratios required, particularly for infants, than some other states. And so that, too, contributes to the costs of the care that
mm-hmm.
we face.
Mm-hmm. The president has announced a child care policy. It was a part of his campaign. There are a lot of issues kind of hanging over this administration. But from what you've heard about what his ideas are about child care, do you think this is going to receive national attention?
I have no. I don't know how far this will go. I know, right, there's been some discussion with his daughter being particularly interested in helping families pay for childcare. And particularly, I think she's pushed the idea, rightfully so, that it hits people across the income continuum, right? So while I spend a lot of time worrying about how low-income families can handle childcare, it's certainly right that we also need to worry about how middle-income families are going to be able to spend, you know, $10,000, $15,000, right? And I just want to quickly add, every time you're talking about $10,000, right, think about that as only being for one kid. So imagine when
right.
you have two or three kids, or God forbid, twins, you know, that both need care, mm-hmm. the numbers only go up from there. So, you know, my understanding is the interest is doing it primarily through the tax code, right? So, and I believe that might be one of the proposals we're going to be talking about or is going to be introduced here in our own state. You know, and that certainly helps some people. Now, it helps people in the middle income and upper incomes more to the extent that they have the ability to outlay $10,000 and then wait until April for that money to come back.
Right.
And certainly for families that can do that, it's a tremendous source of relief. But for those that have problems putting together the money on a monthly basis, that will probably have less of an effect. But, you know, I guess from my perspective, as you said in the introduction, we spend so long talking about how much it costs and not really making big steps towards helping families that anything that moves in that direction can only be good.
And we're going to welcome phone calls. I'm particularly interested in hearing from those of you who are listening this afternoon, either what you are doing now for childcare or what you have done for everybody who has to. And there are so many people who have to deal with childcare issues, and it's a thorny thing to do your job and find childcare that will match what you're able to afford. And what do you do when you have to take time off from work because your child is sick? It's just this constant concern every single day. Do you think that the variety of options here in the state of Wisconsin are good? What have you done to secure good childhood care? Do you think that it is just too expensive for most of us? And what can be done when we'll speak with a state senator about what may be done in the state of Wisconsin to make it more affordable. But what can be done that would make it affordable for you? What would be affordable for you? Cost is really a huge issue, and it's especially true for those who feel that their financial situation is not all that great. Here's our phone number. Child care, the high cost of child care, is our topic this hour, and our number is 800- 486-8255. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. You can also find us on Facebook, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network. And we go to phone calls now at 800-486-8655. Professor Catherine Magnuson is a professor of social work and associate director of the Institute for Poverty Research at University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we start our calls with Guy in Merrill. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Great. I was talking to the screener about child care. When me and my wife got married, I'm a construction worker by trade, electrician by trade. So a lot of my time was spent on the road working. But my wife worked as a lab technician in one of the local mills in northern Wisconsin. And once we started doing the getting up in the morning and who's taking the kids where and who's and dealing with substandard child care, my wife said, you know, we both agreed, she quit her job, stayed home with the kids. Well, realizing that there was other families out there in the same situation, she opened up a daycare and ran a daycare license, state licensed daycare for the past 20 years.
Oh, my. Great.
So we experience, you know, you become part of the family. I mean, these kids become part of your family. But you realize that a lot of these families are struggling with child care, but they have to have two parents working. One to bring home money for the bills, and the other one work and provide the health care.
Right.
Their kids spent more time at our house than they did at their own home. And once my wife went back to finish up her degree and finally closed up the doors, which was not that long ago, we still had families calling, please open up your daycare again and get our kids, you know, because they were having more kids. And my wife provided a safe, clean environment that a lot of daycares don't provide, you know, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's a need out there for help, you know, something to help these families with child care. Don't know what the answer is, but definitely a need for it.
Yeah, thank you, Guy, very much. Catherine.
Yeah, I mean, I think for anyone who has had a great child care provider, you understand what value they add to the community and to your family, right? They make you function well. And so having providers that really care about the children, giving parents a choice so that they feel like they have chosen and feel good about the care it in, it really is a foundation of a healthy community if you think about it, right? So you are enabling these other parents to work to provide for their family. You know, you are getting something to help provide for your family, and it was really a working situation. And I think that's what families want, and that's what communities want, is they want to be able to sustain working families in their own community with choices that they feel great about. And the sort of dedication, if you will, and the skills of your wife are really critical to making all parts of the state healthy, and especially so in rural areas where there really are fewer options.
Yeah, and I know the kind of care and the situation that Guy and his wife provided is very appealing to a lot of families. If you have the right family, that setting can be attractive.
Yeah, especially for younger kids,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it often means they're getting sort of more, they tend to have smaller numbers of kids, they're getting more one-on-one care. There's ability to provide a family-like atmosphere, as he described well. They're part of our family, too.
Thanks, Guy, very much for your call. Justin in Rio. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Not too bad. You know, I'm one of them younger guys. I never used to really listen to this stuff too much, but I find as I'm getting older that it's, why not listen to it? It's a lot of good ideas, a lot of good information that I learned as a young adult and a parent. So my experience having kids with my wife and wanting to do all the things that we wanted to do was very challenging because I work for the railroad. So I'm an engineer, and I'm gone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My schedule is very irregular, and so we were trying to find ways of, just like the other caller, my wife and I, we both wanted to work. My wife didn't want to be a stay-at-home. She found out very early on that she, it just wasn't cut out for her. She loves her kids. She loves to be around them, but she wants to find another way to feel productive otherwise, or a lack of social with an adult, you know, being around the kids all the time. So she first started when we had our kid. She first went to work for the city of Simperia as an assessor, and we tried that for a while. But the problem is my weird schedule. So we were trying to find ways of getting a babysitter on a schedule to come to our house, but it was very hard with mine. So she ended up, she had her own business that she ended up going back to. She worked from home, and that worked really good for a while because then she could be with the kids and be productive all at the same time, and then stabilize our child care, at least until we can get a babysitter, do the babysitter or something like that. There's more flexibility in that, whereas when she went to the city, you know, if somebody got sick or something, one of us had to stay home, and that would really challenge our work schedules, especially mine.
Yes.
So as her home business grew, we ended up having a babysitter come to our house and watch her kids there, so that way she can completely focus on her job. And then if she wants to take a break, her kids are right there, too. And that's worked really good for us, but it is very expensive. So I guess I was just sharing how it worked for us.
Yeah, thanks, Justin.
Very challenging to get to that point.
Right. I hear this from a lot of people, and I'm sure you do as well, Catherine, that people do a variety of different options. It's what will work at any one time and how you have to shift things around with your hours or switch your daycare frequently. It's not an easy, let's go down this path. The path goes a lot of ways.
Especially for people that are either working in the service industry or, as your last caller was, you know, have regularly irregular hours. Few providers are really set up to sort of be on call for when it's needed, but you don't have to pay them when it's not needed. So that can be a tremendous challenge. A lot of families turn to other family members or very close friends, neighbors, for help as well. And often that, you know, they can save some money that way. Sometimes they pay for it, sometimes they don't, but they sort of start to think strategically about who's available in their life that loves their children as much as they did and can help them. And that works great, often in the short term, but, you know, sustaining it if grandma gets sick, your neighbor takes a new job, that can also lead to some instability and trouble figuring out what really works.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the one interesting point that I would also make is that for many couples, they're at their sort of lowest earning potential. You know, they're young newlyweds. They're excited to start a family together. And so they aren't yet at, if you will, the top of their earning potential. And so these costs hit at a very early point in their, you know, in their careers. And that makes it all the harder for them to pay for it.
We go next. Thanks, Justin, so much for your call. Sarah in Green Bay. Hi.
Hello. Well, I'd like to first thank the guest for her important work in this area. My husband and I had our children in a child care center setting from infancy until kindergarten, and they're now in middle school. We were very satisfied with the care, and fortunately, we could afford the care. It was expensive, but we felt it was worth it for us, that both of us would stay engaged in our professional lives and that it was a good experience for our children as well. And one question I have for you, and I'm sorry if I missed this earlier because I could not tune in when this show started, but I always felt bad ever complaining about the cost of our child care because I knew that the staff probably did not make the best wages. And I was just wondering if you could speak to where our monies are going when we pay for, let's say, center-based child care, because we know that the staff who are caring for our children, unfortunately, generally do not make very much money.
Yeah, it's a good, and we'll get to the answer, but I also wanted to ask you, Sarah, what did you like about the situation of your children? What did you like about the care?
Well, we were in a unique situation here in Green Bay where we have an excellent facility for children of all abilities. It was originally a center for children and adults with disabilities, and then they created an inclusive child care some years ago, and we knew people whose children were there. And my husband and I liked that idea very much of our children being in a space and learning and growing with children of all different abilities physical abilities, developmental abilities,
right.
et cetera. And the staff was excellent. There happened to be great longevity among the staff. We knew that our children were getting excellent care. It was very open and communicative with families. So just terrific experience. I know we were very, very lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great that you were. What about the workers? Catherine?
Yeah, so we had mentioned earlier on the show that, in fact, right, they are often themselves working for low wages, making, you know, somewhere between $10, $12 an hour, often with benefits, but sometimes without. And so they definitely also are not getting rich off of it. That said, you know, there are instances in which when you have small classrooms, which is what you want to really provide high-quality care so that the providers can interact with and talk to the children and manage the classroom well, the costs just sort of add up in terms of labor. So it is the case that 80% of the cost of childcare is the labor itself. And if you think about it, you need two teachers per room so that if one teacher has to handle a difficult child or go to the bathroom, that the children aren't being left unsupervised with what else they're doing. You have to worry about, someone who's watching them if someone calls in sick. And there's a understandably appropriate level of regulations and supplies and capital costs and all that stuff. So, it sort of boggles our mind how much it costs. But it's not the case that there are people out there sort of getting rich off of it. It's the case that most of the money is going for the provision of care and hopefully high quality care if you're paying a lot.
And we're welcoming more phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And, excuse me, my earphones aren't working. Hello? And you can join us on Twitter at Kay Dunn Show. And so that's that story. Let me get things fixed here so I can hear what's going on. And we'll take more of your phone calls. This is the Ideas Network. Senator Jennifer Schilling is also joining us. And thank you, both of you, Catherine, you as well, for standing by here. I don't know what went on here. Senator Schilling is Senate Democratic leader. She is from La Crosse, and she is going to be talking about what the legislature, Democrats in the legislature, plan to do to address the problem of the high cost of child care. So, Senator Schilling, take it to the microphone.
Oh, good afternoon. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about this. And this certainly is an issue that when couples and families are looking at their budget, when they're thinking about starting a family or growing their family, I mean, they are talking about, housing costs, food, transportation, college loans, credit cards, and child care, of course. It's how do we make this work in our family budget? And the affordability, the cost, the expense of child care for good quality child care, and all of us as working parents want to have our mind at ease when we go to work to know that our sons and daughters are in a safe place that is stimulating.
Yes.
And an education kind of emphasis environment. And so my colleagues and I in the assembly, working with Senator LaTanya Johnson and Melissa, Representative Sargent in Madison, that we're looking at introducing legislation that would create a targeted child care income tax credit. And so it would mirror the federal law and create a state income tax credit for those child care expenses. We're looking at, depending on the claimant's income, a child or a family with a child could see a tax credit up to about $1,000, and a family of four or more could see a tax credit up to more than $2,000. So there's a formula we would have to look at as far as looking at allowable expenses. But I think as we look at targeted tax relief and a little bit of help for working families, that the expense of child care is really something that is a very common topic. If I'm out at the school bus stop with my neighbors,
oh, I'm sure.
At the bleachers at the basketball game or at a baseball game, or even just out for an evening with my friends, that the topic turns to the cost of childcare, and those early years when it's really foundational, it's important to have the building blocks of early childhood development. But even when you get into school, if it's early before school childcare and after school childcare, that expense is still there.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard to work out, too. There are just so many different configurations that families have to piece together, and it changes sometimes from year to year or even from month to month.
Well, and it can be stressful, as you want to have consistent care. And certainly if people are looking for work, and possibly they get hired for a job, and then suddenly if they don't have child care in place at the time, that can be very stressful. So I think it is recognizing this issue of the expense of child care and how we can help some working families, with some targeted tax relief. Because mm-hmm. I think it was mentioned early on, roughly $1,000 a month is the average cost of child care, $12,000, I think, for infants. And we certainly want to make child care more affordable. And some have said, well, what's happening on the end of, on the end of child care in the centers and with wages? And those are not really high-paid positions, and I think they average about $11 to $12 an hour sometimes. And so we don't want to be looking at what we need to be doing on that end of profession to try to curb costs in the child care industry. In the profession.
So if you had this targeted tax credit, it would be, if you've got an average cost of $10,000, how would that translate to how much people would have to pay? It would mean $8,000 a year or what?
Well, it is the credit is worth up to 35% of the allowable expense, up to a maximum annual amount of $3,000 if there's one qualifying dependent, and up to $6,000 if there are two or more. So you wouldn't be a dollar-for-dollar deduction or tax credit on, but it is a percentage of it. So while we talk about the average cost being $10,000 to $12,000 a year for child care, it would be a percentage of that would be the tax credit.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that, Professor Magnuson?
I think it will help. Right, when families look at budgets, when they're trying to figure out how they're going to pay for things. When they know that check that's coming back after taxes are filed is going to have more money in it, then they can strategize about how to spend more here or save more there to make it to April and get that money back. So it really does help. I think it doesn't help as much with the upfront costs, right? You still have to pay that $1,000 a month. But knowing that there's help coming really can help families strategize about how to smooth the costs and the bumps in the road and make their ends meet.
How many businesses, do you have a handle on this, Senator Schilling, make child care affordable, or are there a lot of instances of companies that are all in one location and they've decided to get together and provide child care? Is this common or not?
Well, I think some employers recognize, in order to have a productive workforce, that they look to respond to employee, interests and challenges that they have of their workers. So if it is, health and wellness emphasis, having, a gym or something available for people to work out. If it is about child care access and being able to provide either some monetary assistance with child care or to have a child care on site, that is also something that workplace flexibility that employers are responding to. I think with more and more dual income households, modern families, they need these kinds of work policies that will help them ensure the flexibility, and it enables businesses to be more competitive. So I think it's a partnership of employers, but it's also responding to the changing lives and just landscape of working families and of their employees.
Our number is 800-486-8655. We go to Barbara in Fond du Lac, our next caller. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm glad to be able to speak to you. Having had a lifetime in the provision of early childhood care, both as a provider in a variety of settings and also as an instructor in the Wisconsin Technical College system, I could tell you many stories about many things, but just a couple of basic observations. There seems to be a prevailing attitude amongst many folks that good quality childcare is just a matter of babysitting, and so why do we have to spend so much money on it? There are many studies that show the quality of the care is totally dependent on the educational levels of the persons providing it. And I have never understood why, you know, a lot is talked about market-driven forces, that when a need is there, the market will attend to it. And that's one service that's never been true of that particular kind of economic response, that market forces have never been able to address the issues related to early childhood education and care. And it really bothers me that the workers who actually provide the care earn so little. And I have had to face people in the technical college system who have said, why should we be training people for jobs that pay so little?
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you called. I'd like to hear both our guests respond to that. Senator Schilling, would you start, please?
Well, certainly, you know, I recognize that child care, I refer to them as child care professionals, and I think it wasn't that many years ago that my two sons were at a center-based child care facility in La Crosse, and so I had daily contact with those men and women who are, many of them have degrees, that they are professionals, and they firmly know the importance of early childhood development and brain development, and as we're doing more and more studies on those foundational years, it's really important. And so I certainly echo the important professionalism that these, you know, the men and women who take care of our children are not, you know, glorified babysitters, that they are professionals, that they've gone to school, that they are, many have degrees, the centers are, and in-home could be licensed and regulated, that we certainly need to dispel the notion that, you know, these are babysitters that are, that our children are placed in care with for the hours that we're at work.
Mm-hmm. Catherine.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all in agreement. So I was thinking a little bit about this as we started into the program. I am more often talking about early care and education, right, rather than child care. So I don't talk about child care much anymore, and largely that's because the role of taking care of children is about educating them, right? And that's true whether you're a mother, a teacher in a center, or a babysitter. And so the false dichotomy of a babysitter versus early education just doesn't ring true, and it never has. That said, you know, I am like you. I think figuring out how to train people to be professionals and how to have the skills they need in a classroom is just fundamentally important. Now, that said, I'm open to the idea that there's many ways to train people, and I can appreciate a concern about preparing people and in doing so having them take on a lot of debt for jobs that don't pay well. Now, I don't think that means we don't train them. I think that means that we think about how to offset the costs of training them and how to think about promoting a profession and pay for the quality care that they do provide when they're out in the field.
Yes. Thank you, Barbara, so much for calling. Let us go next to Jessica in La Crosse. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just to give you a little perspective, when our last child was born, we had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So I know all about the cost of child care when you have 3 kids in daycare. One thing I would like to add to the conversation, though, is I think I've had conversations with some of my female coworkers, and just the idea that there's this perception of more security in your life when you have two spouses working outside the home. And you know, despite what you're paying in child care, the notion that you're potentially giving up on one, you know, one partner financially contributing to the household, that's a scary place to go for a lot of people.
Senator Schilling.
And I don't know if I understand what the question was.
Yeah, I think just the statement that, you know, in this day and age, it just doesn't seem like, you know, years ago, I think there was a tendency for, more of a tendency for one spouse to primarily stay in the home and someone
right.
else worked outside the home. And now these days, I just don't think that the job security is there to,
right.
you know, people feel comfortable having one person just completely step out of the job market.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that when some families look at the expense of childcare and they realize that one person is basically, they are working to cover the expense of childcare, and they may decide that maybe it's not the right season in our life to do that, and we decide to stay home and take care of our children and be in home, then leaving the workplace. I mean, that is a choice that people make, and I respect that if that is what works for the family, the family dynamics that they are in right then. And so, but do recognize that there is no sort of cookie cutter approach, that every family kind of has a decision that they need to make about what works best for them and for their children and for kind of the situation that they find themselves in.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're so different than many other countries, Professor Magnuson, because other countries deem the first year of life to be incredibly important and give a parent the ability to stay home and pay them to do so. Imagine having that in the United States, for heaven's sake.
Right, right. So other places generally offset the cost of childcare and or staying home. So places have much more generous parental leaves, and I think having calling it parental rather than maternal really is important, so that it affects both men's career and women's careers equally. And then they also subsidize center-based care when children are, you know, hitting 3, 4 and older, obviously, in terms of child care. So, yes, other countries invest a lot more in early childhood than the U.S. does.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jessica, for your call. John in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning, afternoon. I think I teach at a technical college in Green Bay, and I'm pretty in tune with a lot of my students in that late 20s, early 30s. And what really frustrates me, first of all, we're having this conversation like this is something new. I mean, we've been dealing with this for 30-plus years, this dynamic of having to have two families, two-income households. And I think my biggest frustration is listening to people say, especially employers, you know, I can't find people who want to work. The reality is, and a lot of our students come out with an associate degree. They're, first of all, getting that degree is difficult. They get that degree and they're looking at a job of $12 or $14 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't make any economic sense a lot of times for them to work for that and give up all that time with their kids. So my whole thing is I really believe a lot of this needs to go back on the employers. You know, $1,000 tax cut at the end of the year doesn't put a dent in a lot of these people that earn just enough to not qualify for assistance. It just really makes it difficult for them to prosper as a family.
Senator Schilling.
Well, and we are seeing parents, with the wages that are stagnant here in Wisconsin and child care costs continue to rise, what can we do to help working parents who are struggling to make ends meet? And I think there are, you know, many issues that are tied in to the conversation that we are having and how we can lift up wages, how we can promote, a paid family and sick leave policies, how we can help with child care expenses, how we need to be prioritizing and valuing the wages that the child care providers are earning. So I certainly think that this is an issue that, yes, we need to continue to talk about, that we need to make some advances on. I think employers, yes, do have a role to play to help with productivity with their employees on this. I represent rural, western Wisconsin. I live in La Crosse, but much of the district I represent is pretty rural, and just even access to accessible child care in rural Wisconsin can be a challenge in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And as I talk with folks who maybe work third shift or who work in the healthcare industry or service industry, overnight care is becoming more and more of an issue if they are a single family household.
Hmm. And just in 10 seconds, we're almost out of time. What's the status of legislation introduced yet?
The bill has been introduced in the Assembly. It's in the Assembly Ways and Means Committee. A Senate bill has not been introduced, but we will be having that introduced soon. But it's Assembly Bill 43
okay.
in the Ways and Means Committee, and look forward to working with my Assembly and Senate colleagues to talk about this issue and
Great.
Move it through the process.
Thank you. Senator Jennifer Schilling, Senate Democratic leader in Wisconsin from La Crosse, and Catherine Magnuson, thank you so much for being with us as well, a professor of social work at UW-Madison, associate director of the Institute for Poverty Research. Thanks to Marie. Marika Saval for producing this hour, and Colleen Duvall for on-air production. Thanks for listening.